Isn't that a bit...
Yeah, it's not very nice.
Exactly.
It's mental, no, it isn't. No, but...
It's pretty mental.
Like, you know, there's no... Sorrow.
Yeah, there is no sorrow.
Why?
Do God hate us?
Yes.
Because they're jealous of us.
If we don't make edits, then they come down.
Is that why the king of...
Shihon, the king of England. Shihon and the other one. Yeah. All our families. No family fight. We get chosen by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they don't, you know. Okay. Parshas Chukas is a very mysterious parsha. The pasuk starts off with the concept of a chok. A chok meaning something that has absolutely no reason behind it. And the pasuk starts off with an introduction which is very, very, very strong. V'dar Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron neymor. Zoyis chukas ha-Torah, asher tziva Hashem neymor. First of all, what's zoyis chukas ha-Torah? This is a chok of the Torah. It's not a chok of the Torah. It's a chok of paraduma. Or it's a chok of Tumah and Tahara. It's a chok of purity and impurity. It's not a chok of the Torah. Zoyis chukas ha-Torah. This is a chok of the Torah. It's not. It's a chok of Tumah and Tahara.
My Shira once said that somebody learned the whole Torah, then it came to Paradumah and realized that he didn't understand it. So because of that,
you
don't understand it.
Okay.
All right.
Fine. So he says, Zos Chukas HaTorah, Ashtiva Hashem Neymar. And then, so let's start this idea here of Zos Chukas HaTorah. It should say Zos Chukas HaTuma, Zos Chukas HaTahara, Zos Chukas Paraduma. What's Zos Chukas HaTorah? And then again it says, Ashtiva Hashem Neymar. Dabar B'nai Yisrael, it should say like this, Zos Chukas HaTorah, Dabar B'nai Yisrael. Again, she said, "V'dabe Hashem Meishel Ar Neimor, Dabe Al Bnei Yisrael, Zoyis Chukas HaTorah." She said, "Hashem Neimor Vikchalecha Paradumo." Why is it Zoyis Chukas HaShem Neimor, Dabe Al Bnei Yisrael? What's the deal over here? This is the Chuk of the Torah. Hashem said, "Speak to Klal Yisrael." The order is incorrect. Is that right, Binyamin?
Oh yeah.
It should say first, "Dabe Al Bnei Yisrael." Say to Klal Yisrael. This is the Chuk of the Torah as follows. Why this Chuk of the Torah? Speak to Klal Yisrael. What's the deal over there in a strange order? Thirdly, I don't know why it's considered a chok. It says in many places, Ramesha Hadarshan, which means Rashi's Rebbe, comes along and he says, what's the reason behind Paraduma? That's a concept of this is a way of making up for the ego. Says the Torah, it should come along the mother, the cow, and wipe up the dirt, tsoyah spinor, wipe up the tsoyah, the dirt of the child. And therefore the paraduma is their para, making up, and wiping up the dirt of the tsoyah, making up for the dirt of the child of the ego. So why is this considered the chalal chok? Another reason why paraduma is because of the mother should come and clear the dirt of the child. What's the chok over here? So I want to first focus on the last point first. There's a klal in Paraduma that the Mishnah explains and the Gemara explains many places that the chok of Paraduma is metaher es hatameim or metamei es hatahurim. Well, Paraduma actually did well something very strange. If a person was tamei and he was sprinkled by Paraduma, he became tahur. But the person who was dealing with the Paraduma, the person who was involved in the burning of the Paraduma and putting the ashes into the water and dealing with it, he became Tommy. Now, that's very, very strange, which means, because if this is a power, if the Paraduma is dealing with a power that has a power to extract Tumah and replace it with Tahara, certainly a person who's already Tahara certainly is going to have the power to stay Tahara. Why does he become Tommy? And that they explain that's a chok. The chok is that metame es hatameim, metaher es hatameim, it becomes makes the people who are tomei tohur, umetame es hatohurim, it makes those people who are tohur tomei. Now on that particular point, the Shlach HaKadosh says something amazing. He said, although it's a chok, there is a way to understand it in a very logical way, that this should make sense. And he says that there is no... The Rambam gives a golden rule. What's the golden rule of the Rambam? The golden path of the Rambam.
Oh, the middle path.
Golden middle path. There is no extreme but to the extreme middle. Right? The Rambam says the way a person should become a very normal person is to go exactly in the middle of the road. Exactly in the middle, extreme middle. However, he says that how does a person do tshuva? If a person has a bad trait, the person is miserly, a person who is a bal kas, a person who is a bal gaiva, yeah, all the different things, how should he repair himself? He should go to the opposite extreme. Go to the totally opposite extreme. A person very miserly, he should start splashing out. A person who is very spendthrift should become very miserly. So therefore you've got to go to the opposite extreme. Like he says, you have a case where you have a stick that's bent. In order to bend the stick back into the middle, you've got to bend it further back, the opposite direction, and eventually it'll fall back into the middle. That's the time when you actually got to go off the derech of the extreme path and go to the opposite extreme to make things good again. That's the concept over here of the Rambam about his different paths. Now he says something amazing. He says to Shlomo that in fact, so we see that if a person is a healthy individual, if a person is healthy within his derech, he's going in the correct derech, HaTorah, then there's no reason why he should do anything extreme. He should go in exact middle. He should go the extreme middle. Nothing extreme, nothing crazy. However, if a person, unfortunately, is a person who needs first aid, a person who needs emergency treatment in order to push him back to become moral again, he's got to go to an extreme. Says the Shlach Kodesh, this is a lesson of the Paraduma. Paraduma is a lesson that where you have a person who is Tohoyer already, you have a person who's already okay, and he starts doing stuff that's extreme and makes him Tommy. A person who's Tohoyer already and he starts doing things that are extreme, dealing with Tahara and Eifa Pora and Mechatov, all the different things, he becomes Tommy. However, a person who's already Tommy, he needs certain things in order to push him back into the Derech, that he should go off the extreme into the extreme of Tahara. And if he can have the same thing that is Metaher Tmeim, and it's like medication. A person never has medication. A person who needs medication, he's got very, very low blood pressure. So he takes a pill to give him high blood pressure. For him, he needs it. The person who has regular blood pressure takes his pill, it will kill him. And that's the concept over here of learning the way a person is supposed to address things of ruchnius. Certain things in ruchnius, certain things in our growth, for certain people it's healthy, and certain people it's a killer. And therefore the idea is to know for ourselves that sometimes to do something is okay, and sometimes to do something is wrong. To learn a whole night through, lel shishi, turn the whole night through when you have that Friday off, it's okay. But to learn the whole Tuesday night through when you got Wednesday, you got a chavrusa to do, is a killer. Yeah? My mashkiach, Matthias Salomon, used to say often, he said, you should know the greatest yetzahara today is not going to bed on time.
Amen.
Greatest yetzahara today is not going to bed on time. He used to say in Yiddish, Vifil tamed chachamim verlieren sich auf dem Weg zum Bett. How many Tamil Chomin lose himself on the way to bed? Tamil Chomin get lost on the way to bed. How many Tamil Chomin get lost on the way to bed? He said, if you go to bed on time and you learn properly the next day, that is the best way of steiging. On the other hand, there are certain times when you got to go crazy. The guy is, you know, a Shavuos night. Yeah? Shavuos night. There's certain times you got to go crazy. Shavuos night, no. I always go to bed at 11 o'clock. So after the meal, I'm going to go to bed, 11 o'clock. No, this is certain the time when you've got to go crazy, because that going crazy is a chelik of Yeruchnius. Getting up early, yeah, for davening. Fine. But getting up very early for davening is crazy sometimes, besides doing slichus. When you should get up very early, because that is your tikkun. So there's certain times when doing the exact same thing for some people, even for the same person, sometimes a killer, and sometimes his cure. So that's the idea of Metaher Tmeim, and Tameh Satohirim. But Lemaisa, that's the idea behind the Chok. But the concept is like this. Zos Chokas HaTorah is an understanding of a very, very deep, very, very deep concept within way things work. And that is like this. That if a person were to look at Parshas Paraduma, he would see something that's very strange. He would see a lesson, for example, Gaiva and Anova. Yeah, Gaiva and Anova. What's good? To be a bad Gaiva or to be an Anova? Tremendous, right? Tremendous to be an Anova. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the Parsha, said like this. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, sorry, sending a malach.
The fourth layer.
Yeah. It says in Perek Chof, Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Moshe Rabbeinu is sending a telegram to Melech Edom, and it's telling him, "V'nitzak el Hashem v'yishma kaleinu v'yishma v'yishach Maloch v'yitzenim in Mitzrayim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a Maloch. It sent an angel and took us out from Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, Maloch ve Moshe. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Mikan shanavim kruim malachim. The navim are called malachim. So it's as if I'm saying to you, El, don't mess with me, because Hashem has created a tremendous tzaddik in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Yeah, referring to myself, and that tzaddik don't mess with. So Moshe Rabbeinu is sending to Edom, v'yishach malach. He calls himself a malach. How dare you do such a thing? Bar Gaiva, Moshe Rabbeinu. Chas v'shalom to call Moshe Rabbeinu Bar Gaiva. The Torah says he's the greatest honor ever. So pshat. So there's a story with Rav Chaskel Abramsky. Rav Chaskel Abramsky, Zecher Tzaddik v'Kodesh Livracha, he was an Av Beis Din of London Beis Din. Because he was a tremendous, and I mean, he was a tremendous tzaddik. He was an Av Beis Din of London, and he was an unbelievable honor. Unbelievable honor. But sometimes he put his foot down, and he had tremendous gaiva. My father saw this with his own eyes. My father said once, he has a wealthy man, gave him a lift in his Rolls Royce in London, and he opened the car door and the balabos got in first. So Cheskel Abramsky schlepped out the balabos and he sat down first, and he said, "You should just know, if I went into business, I'd be wealthier than you. You give cover to the Melech HaChomim where I come from." Nothing he said. And now, on another, shed him out the car. He pulled him out of the arm. Okay, not violently, didn't knock the guy over. He pulled him out of the arm and says, "I go in first. Where we come from, it's Melech HaChomim gets." Yeah. Another time, he was in the court in the Old Bailey, and he's giving witness, and they needed a opinion of a rabbi. So they stood up and he said, "Rabbi Abramsky, are you knowledgeable in Torah law?" So he says, "There's nobody in the European Commonwealth who's more knowledgeable in Torah law than myself." So the judge said, "And I see you're humble too." So he said, "Sir, I'm under oath."
That is awesome.
The idea is like this: that there's certain times a Moshe Rabbeinu can't be an Onuf. You can't be an Onuf. You can't be this little Moshe saying to Edom, you know, there's a little yid who wants to go through your town. Please let us go through. What are you talking about? Edom, behave yourself. There's Moshe Rabbeinu talking here. Do you understand who this is? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a Malach. I'm talking. You let me go through for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Which means at certain stages where it's very, very important to be about Gaiva. Very important to have Gaiva. Sometimes it's very, very important to be an Onuf. Sometimes it's very, very important to have Kas. Anger. You got to show anger. Not from the outside. The Balanus used to have a Kas hat. Who was it? I think it was the Alter from Kelm. He used to have a cast hat. What's a hat? He used to have a hat on top of the cupboard. When he had to get angry, he used to climb up the ladder to the hat, put the hat on, then he was allowed to get angry. As soon as the hat came off, he wasn't angry anymore. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant idea if you think of it. But on Maisa, he got angry. Which means in Yiddishkeit, there's no such thing as something which is completely utter. Even apikorsus is mutter. To be a complete heretic is mutter. Sometimes a person's got to be a complete heretic. There's certain times when a person's got to be a heretic. Complete apikorsus. When is that case? You have a case, somebody came to the, I think it was the Ger Rebbe, and he said, you know, everything has opposites. When can a person be apikorsus? He said, I'll tell you when. And somebody comes to you and he says to you, listen, Nebuch, my family are ill, and my wife hasn't got a job, and I'm struggling, and my daughter, da 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 da. So, you know, the person usually says, ah, oh, there's Hashem, Hashem will look after you, everything will be okay. So the Ger Rebbe, there is no Hashem. You help him. Be an apikorsus. There is no God. You're the one who should help him. Put your hand in your pocket and give him some money. Yeah? Which means everything in Yiddishkeit has opposites. There's never a time when everything is completely out. Doesn't exist. There's sometimes chaos is good. Sometimes, I'll give an example. To be a kamsum, to be a stingy, is a terrible midah. Terrible midah to be stingy. A person should be generous. When it comes to other people's money though, I should be stingy. I'm going to be very careful. I'm very happy to allow a person, I'll give a silly example. I'm very happy if a person, I've got some nice whiskey on my table for Friday night, I'm very happy if a person helps himself to whiskey. Yeah, okay, it's not cheapest whiskey, I'm very happy, Gesundheit. But I can't go to a person who has whiskey and start pouring myself out half a cup because I'm generous with whiskey. I've got to be stingy with that, I take a little bit. There's a certain time when hefeches, opposites, is all about Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is all about knowing when to take on one midah against the other. Knowing when to take on the opposites. When to be angry, when to be modest. Of Moshe Feinstein, an Onov. Onov Mikol Odom. Mamash Moshe is Onov Mikol Odom. In this case when he was 90, yeah, this woman shouts to him, Moshe, Moshe, and he turns around, somebody calling me. Over 90. Right, she's calling her child. And he thought, honestly, somebody was calling him. Moshe, Moshe. Right? On the other hand, there's a famous case, when, for other people's covers, he was unbelievably strong. There's a case when at an orphanage, the stupid the head of a function stood up and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have here a benefactor who paid for the clothes of all these poor orphans over the Yom Tov season. All the orphans who received clothes from Mr. X, please stand up in front of a whole." Dinner, a whole group of people. Never, you say that to stand and say, thank you, getting. So what they were doing, Moshe Feinstein stood up. He was a guest of honor. Moshe Feinstein stood up, the whole top table stood up, everybody in the whole hall stood up. On the spur of the moment, brilliant. Right? But that was the covers of these poor Yisraelim. Which means that certain times that a person going to have covered, and certain times the covered doesn't exist. So those chukas HaTorah is the key to understanding Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not Zeis Chukah, it's not the Chok of Pora Duma, or the Chok of Tumah, the Chok of Tahara. It's the key to understanding the entire Torah. What's the key to understanding the entire Torah? That sometimes Tomei is Toho and sometimes Toho is Tomei. There's no such thing as something is Tomei and Tomei is Toho is Toho. No, sometimes a Toho becomes a Tomei and a Tomei becomes a Toho. It depends who and when and where. The Torah is, nothing can be extreme. Nothing can be extreme. There's something to certain Torah where certain things is absolutely Tomei, and by doing something become Toho. And on the contrary, becoming Toho actually becomes Tomei. It depends when and how I do something. So Zoyis Chok HaSatoro, the Chok of Paraduma, when it's dealing with Metame HaSatohoim, and Metahe HaSatomeim, that's the Chok to understanding how a person should behave their entire life. Of Zoyis Chok HaSatoro. Yeah.
But also should be extremely humble and not angry at all.
The Koska says that. The Koska says, truthfully, I don't think Rambam said, the Koska says it.
The Rambam says it.
The Koska says. Yeah, but I've got a little Pirish in there. He said, because the Koska explains it, because the Pshat is, it says there, the Koska says Dvash Sheket Tirchok. That's a Dvash Sheket Tirchok. They completely should never have Sheket. But the Rambam talks about Gaiva and Kas in a certain situation where it doesn't fit into the other situations, but certain times the Chiyuv, the Gemara says that every time a Chacham is going to have a Shminish v'Shminis, he's got to have a very small amount of Gaiva in him. Has to have it.
Is that not really a certain difference? rather than forever. It's more to be certain.
Did you go to Shmuz yesterday for Jacobson? It's godless or Adam. At a certain time, a person's got to realize that, how can I do this? How can I possibly allow myself to do this in public? I'm a Ben Melech. I'm Ben Torah. Yeah? That is Gaiva. That's Gaiva. That's pride. But that pride is going to stop him from doing things. A person who has no pride can do anything he wants and he's not embarrassing anybody. Which means the level of Gaiva and Kas, yeah, it's certainly less than other things, but of course there's got to be a time when it's used. There's got to be a time when it's used. Very careful, you've got to be very careful with this. It's like a bit of salt, instead of the Chofetz Chaim. Put too much salt in, it destroys the whole thing, but it's salt, it's flavoured. A person's got to show anger sometimes.
The Shlomo even says, the anger, you should not get angry. Because it takes up the whole body.
It depends how you're angry. For sure, it depends how you're angry. That's like I said beforehand. You had the Alter von Kelm. He's put on the hat, which means it was a totally external anger.
It was anger.
He showed anger.
But he showed caste.
His characteristic now is a characteristic of caste. It was not a characteristic of being kind or being gentle. It's a characteristic of caste. But he wasn't the caste. He had his hat on. Yeah? Sometimes that hat cools you down, warms you up. But the hat was a caste hat. He wasn't angry. When he took it off, anger disappeared.
But be angry is not good.
To be angry, to allow it to get into you, no. Oh, that's for sure not good. Okay, a person's got to act with anger. Okay, a person's got to act with anger, they act with caste. Okay. So that's the idea over here of those chukas ha-Torah. It's a chuk of the Torah. It's a chuk to give you an understanding, a key to how a person should translate the life of the entire Torah. That at certain times, it's matar to tmeim, it's matar to tohoirim.
Why would that have to be a chuk?
Because I tell you why. Because it seems strange. Because in a Goyish world,
but we understand why do I need to be angry at time? I need to get to. I mean, I read what anger is used for both that which is deductive and that which can destroy. Why is that? Why is it so difficult?
No, the idea of the paradigma was a chok. Those chokas, this chok gives you understanding for Torah.
Right.
The chok of paradigma gives you understanding to Torah. Gives you the key to Torah, how the Torah works.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Could you say about the Goyish world?
The Goyish world.
Things are good or bad.
You get people that the liberals. Yeah, you get people who are liberal, and they're so liberal that they're even liberal for the most terrible things. Yeah. For example, you get people who are. You get today. Take example today. Yeah. Today's example: certain people in the Meretz party. Yeah, are encouraging Israel to give in to the terrorists who have kidnapped this Israeli soldier and allow the Israeli soldier got kidnapped and he's being held by the Hamas, and they're telling and the Hamas want to release all the women soldiers and all soldiers under 18 years old should release. So obviously the Israeli government have the policy not to negotiate with terrorists, but you know, but we're dealing here with Arabs, and these poor Arabs, you know. So, you know, these poor Arabs, you know, they have such hard lives. It can't be easy being a terrorist, right? And so they said that the Meretz said you should actually negotiate with them, because obviously we always say you should always give in to Arabs, right? Because if Arabs are happier, yeah, and if Arabs were in control, and the Arabs weren't so pushed down, then Arabs wouldn't do what they're doing. That's only why five Arabs from middle class families in London. Four Arabs blew themselves up in London last year because they're so terribly, terribly oppressed and downtrodden. Yeah, that's why they did what they did, because they didn't come from a Palestinian refugee camp. They came from London and from middle class families. No, but that is some. So the Goyish world doesn't understand that there's such a thing of being liberal in certain cases and being a fanatic in another case. There's certain times when you need one and not the other. Yeah, you got to pick. You got to pick very carefully. Sometimes you do this, sometimes do that. One's got to know the derech, the exact path, exactly how you're supposed to work.
If you understand this, yeah, we understand why Susan from Wukong, that's fanatic. So they think, yeah, we do understand that. Yeah, we understand.
Yeah, but only according to the
Goyish world would say that.
Which means they have understanding for far too much.
What
does that mean? Which means they understand everything. Everything's understood.
They understand everything for being there.
Everything's understood. I understand everything. And there's no such thing as absolute wrong. There's no such thing. That's just no such thing. Absolute. You know the case of Rabbi Tversky, Rabbi Abraham Tversky. He's a tremendous, very clever man. He once gave a paper for the university to write out about values, about morals. So one girl, a very bright girl, wrote out a whole thing about there's no such thing as absolute right. Yeah, Hitler was right and Stalin was right. Everyone's right. Everyone's right. But the only thing is right. So he gave her an F. He gave her an F. So she came back to him and said, "It's not fair, Rabbi. You know, everyone else got A, B, C. This is a very, very cleverly well-written essay. Why do you get an F?" He said, "Very simple. Anyone who thinks like I think, the closer the way they think the way I think, the higher grade they get. The guys that think exactly the way I think, they get an A, or B, or C. You thought so far from what I think, you got an F." So she said, "But Rabbi, that's not fair."
That's why you got an F. He said that I'm right.
Yeah, it's not fair, you know. That's wrong, Rabbi. Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah. It's not fair. Right. Yeah. Do you understand? So that's a liberal. The other concept of it, she said it's wrong. She's talking about asking, right. There's no things as wrong. Each person has their own way of doing things. So I gave you an F, I can give you whatever I want.
How
it's my way of thinking.
That was what he said to her.
Now you yourself agree that certain things are absolutely wrong. So don't give me this rubbish. Okay. So Zos Chukas HaTorah, let's move on. Zos Chukas HaTorah. Now the other concept of Zos Chukas HaTorah is understanding that Chaim Shmulevitz says that Zos Chukas HaTorah is understanding that we know nothing about the Torah. We know nothing about the Torah. We do the Torah with Chaim Shmulevitz. We do the Torah because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to do the Torah. Zos Chukas HaTorah is understanding that if you do the mitzvah Por Adumo, we're not doing it because we intellectually think that is a correct thing to do. I think it's correct not to kill. Makes sense. I think it's correct even not to wear tefillin. Reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, reminds us of being slaves. I understand that too. But I do not understand Por Adumo. Fine. I don't understand it, but I do it anyway. Shows that I am a proper believing Jew. When I do something not because it makes sense to me, but because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told me to do it, that is when a Jew is totally committed. That is when he becomes a fully fledged person belonging to society. Zos Chukas HaTorah. Zos Chukas HaTorah means when a person keeps his chok, when a person understands his chok, then he's kept the Torah. Then he's understood the reason behind the Torah. When he keeps the chok of Por Adumo and he keeps it to the fullest extent, then he's become a fully fledged Jew. Once a person does things not because he understands them, but because the Torah tells him to do that, and he gives full trust in the Torah, that is when he's a fully fledged Jew. Once a person does things because of Das Torah, when Tamei Chachamim tell you to do something, not because I think they're right or I think they're wrong, I don't understand them, but I do it anyway, that is when he becomes a fully fledged Jew. Zos Chukas HaTorah. And that is the pasuk. Zos Chukas HaTorah Shtuvah Hashem Leimor. This is the Chuk of the Torah which Hashem commanded Daber Bnei Yisrael. But because Klal Yisrael took on the chok of the Torah, what did the Klal Yisrael take on the chok of the Torah? Nasa v'nishma. That was why Kodesh Baruch Hu was Dabar B'nai Yisrael. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu took B'nai Yisrael as a nation. Not the other way around. Remember, ask that Kasha, why does it say Zos Chukas HaTorah, Shesiv Hashem Neimo, Dabar B'nai Yisrael, Shesiv Dabar Yisrael, Zos Chukas HaTorah? No. The idea behind this is Zos Chukas HaTorah, Shesiv Hashem Neimo, the chok that I gave Klal Yisrael, I.e. Nasi v'nishma, I didn't even ask questions of why b'chlal I'm speaking to Dabar B'nai Yisrael. That's why I'm speaking to you in the first place. That's why I'm not speaking to the people from Madagascar or from Honolulu or from anywhere else. I'm only speaking to Klal Yisrael b'chlal is because those chukas HaTorah, they understand what a chuk is all about. That they said Nasi v'nishma. Whatever you say Hashem, that's what I'm going to do. And that's why a Jew is different to anything else. We don't have to intellectualize. Of course we shouldn't understand the mitzvah better. That even if you don't understand in the end, we do it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to do it. That is Zos Chukas HaTorah. It's a chok. If you do the chok, then it shows us that you really understand what the Torah is all about. Okay. I want to move on now. The The parasha talks about a very unfortunate case of Meimei Riva, and then the parasha says, says over here, seconds. In Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin. The pasuk before that talks about the Be'er. Umishon Be'er Ahiya Be'er Ash'oma Hashem Lamoshe Esav Esa'om Etna Lehem Mayim. Hashem said, gather in the nation, give them water. And then the prophet says, Oz Yoshu is Israel es Hashira Hazos. Klal Yisrael said the Shira, Ali Be'er Enula, come at the Be'er, who mentioned here, Ali Oz Yoshu Yisrael. Now, I basically say, what's the difference, what's the space in time? Have you done the parashas? No? Anyone did last week's parasha and this week's parasha? What is the space between parashas Korach and parashas Kukas?
37 and a half years.
Okay, call it 38 years.
Fine.
Almost 38 years, which means what we've been looking through in Parshas Bamidbar in Sefer Midbar looks like a sort of, you know, Parshas Korach happened 2 weeks ago, or happened last week. Parshas Korach happened last week, yeah, and Parshas Meragim happened 2 weeks ago. Wrong, absolutely wrong. Korach happened the beginning of the time Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. We have fast forwarded from Parshas Korach to Parshas Kukas 38 years. We are now 38 years later than last week. We are 38 years later than last week. Somebody phone me up. It's a real yeshivish joke, but the mice is quite good. Somebody phone me up and he asked me from England what the time difference is between Israel and London. I said it's 38 years and 2 weeks. 38 years and 2 hours. So that's what I'm talking about. Because the parasha behind, that parasha's Korach, I mean parasha's Chukas. So 38 years and two hours. So this is so the parasha. See, I understood what I was saying.
This is Korach happened like way before, right at the giving of Hashem, not after the giving of Hashem.
Okay, Be'er. It's only the first 2 years is later, right?
So that's
what's that?
Is it? Go back.
No, this is it. Chukas, Balak, Pinchas. We're going towards the end now.
But I'm going to be thinking.
So we're on the home run. That's it. We skip 38 years. Nothing else happened. Nothing else happened. Nothing else happened. We got Chukas, Bolo, Pinchas, Matos, and Maaseh, and that's it. That's it. We're going to have 4 more weeks to the end of the Torah, and Devarim all happened within a couple of weeks. Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Klal Yisrael. That's it. End of the Torah. All revision. Right? So we're coming towards the end of the Torah now. We're coming really on the home run. Now, so Parshas Chukas is not only talking about now, Rabbeinu Sai, to 38 years. Does not mean to people who are 38 years later, we're talking to a totally different generation. Not only that, most of the people. Okay, they understood that. We'll see that in a second. Most of the people, 90% of the people. Okay, not 90%. But a large proportion of the people who were alive in Parshas Korach were dead in Parshas Chukas because they're not going to come into Eretz Yisrael. You understand that? All the people who were between 20 and 60 died before they come to Eretz Yisrael. Here, just before they come into Eretz Yisrael. If most of these people have died, they become 60 already in the past 2 years, and they've died. No.
No.
From old age, from 60. Any person.
So, why do people say, we should have, by letting us die here, we could have died ages?
Okay, so referring to generations. Yeah? But so this is what we're talking about over here now. We're talking about a different generation. Now, the Mephoshim say, but look in this pasuk over here. If you look in Parshas Beshalach, we have a very similar Parshas Beshalach, not in this Chumash, but Parshas Beshalach have a very similar context of the Oz Yoshe Moshe of Bnei Yisrael. What's it talking about? Oz Yoshe Moshe thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu for Kriyas Yamsuf. Here we also have an Oz Yoshe, but who says Oz Yoshe over here?
Yisrael.
Why over there the Parshas Beshalach says Oz Yoshe Moshe of Bnei Yisrael, Moshe and Bnei Yisrael, and over here says Oz Yoshe Yisrael? So some of the Pharisees say we don't want to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu over here because it's a kitrug for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's bad for Moshe Rabbeinu because Moshe Rabbeinu messed up with the Be'er to a certain level. And if we don't even start bringing Moshe Rabbeinu over here because it's not good for him to be mentioned over here. But the Shem Tov, the Shemen HaTov, I think it's called, one of the Achreinim on the Chumash said something very nice. He said, what is the ideal situation of a leader, of a Rebbe, and of a parent? What's the ideal situation? The ideal situation is, I remember I was very, very happy when I saw my son being able to ride the bike by himself. I was very happy. How happy was I? Big deal. So he can now balance on two wheels and pedal. By doing so, he keeps enough momentum that he doesn't sway from side to side and he drives. But I was very happy when he managed to do it himself without me having to hold him at the back. And the idea of a leader, the idea of a Rebbe, is to allow a person to train them with such moral standards that they can actually pedal on in life by themselves. They can actually go on into life without somebody holding them at the back. That is when a person is mature. Obviously, a person always needs a Rebbe to ask questions. But a person can go through life without swerving and falling down and getting himself a bloody knee. That is when a person, Hashem, is happy. That's when a Rebbe is happy with a Talmud.
Why? The second question would be, why can't society teach them? Why do you need a Rebbe teach them? Why can't your average good person on the street, or average Joe Dobbs, who's a decent human being and has moral standards, why can't
he? He can. Eizah chocham aleimin v'kol adam. Yeah, you can. You should be learning from every person you see.
So why dafke is it the
because a Rebbe is a person who is actually close to the person, makes sure he's got the lessons, points them out to him, stands on top of him, makes sure he's actually understanding what he's learning. Yeah? Telling him off when he's doing something wrong, giving him encouragement when he's... Yeah, the average Joe Bloggs is not interested in you. You just see a Joe Bloggs is very kind bus driver, he learned to be kind. Fine, you may miss it, you may not miss it. Yeah. So Oz Yoshe Yisrael was 40 years later. Moshe Rabbeinu can step aside and Klal Yisrael can say the Shira by themselves. Machaya. Before as Oz Yoshe Uvnei Yisrael, the beginning of the time of Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. Now we're 38 years later, the end of 40 years later, the end of the Midbar. Now Baruch Hashem Oz Yoshe Yisrael. Now we can have Klal Yisrael doing it for themselves. That's tremendous nachas. And that's what a person's going to be able to do. A person's going to be able to let go. Okay? I can't leave you off without this.
Does anybody talk specifically about this? Because there's only like three shiras in the entire Torah, and this is like one of them. And Hazinu and Azyash and Moshe get so much like attention, and this one gets nothing.
So I gave you one shot at least.
No, it was good. I'm just saying, is there?
There must be. Yeah. Look in the what's it called, an Arachaim, yeah. Ramban. Okay, just leave it off with one more short one, a ditty.
This little ditty, motion happening.
That's so.
Yes, I just made it up. More shlachan.
Yan lehimantin bila hakdisheni. Yan lehimantin bila hakdisheni. Kodesh Baruch Hu had a time in Moshe Rabbeinu that he did not make a kiddush Hashem. Now again, Rabbi Isai, let's finish off with this. What exactly was the time of Moshe Rabbeinu did not make a kiddush Hashem? What did he do wrong? So a lot of people say he did wrong. The Rambam says the problem was he hit it instead of spoke to it. Now, what would he have gained if he would have spoken to it? We learn a great Kiddush Hashem. Okay, but what's Pshat? Hakadosh Baruch Hu not say never made a Kiddush Hashem. Now, if I go to a stone and I speak to it, stone, give some water, right? And suddenly water comes out enough to feed the whole Klal Yisrael with all the animals. Unbelievable, a small rock. What do you think I am?
Nuts.
Unbelievable. Either you think there's a little water main underneath the stone, yeah, which is just sort of a hidden water main, or you pick up the stone and the stone moves, there's nothing under there, and suddenly you move it to another place and water pours out. Unbelievable. Hashem says speak to the stone, yeah, and I speak to the stone. Now what happens if I hit the stone?
What's he doing?
One second. There you go. What happens if I hit the stone? What's the big deal of water coming out of the stone?
Well,
have you ever seen water coming out of the stone before?
Spit the sea.
Oh. Yeah, good point. I'm going to come to that in a second. Good point. Second of all, yeah, so what I do, I hit the stone. Now I hit the stone, and water comes out. Wow.
Then it's you.
No, it's supposed to not me. What, if I hit a stone, water's going to come out?
What, sorry?
If I hit a stone, will water come out?
Well, I mean, we're still pretty accurate.
These are hard enough. Nothing will come out. Either stone will break, or the stick will break. No water will come out. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you do not make a Kiddush Hashem. Even more than that, Moshe Rabbeinu has shown Klal Yisrael, Kriyas Yam Suf, the Mor, the Eish, Matan Torah, everything else, amazing Kiddush Hashem. Okay, but because I hit the stone instead of speaking to the stone, Yale Hemantin Bila Hakishay, you did not make a Kiddush Hashem, for that you don't deserve to go into Eretz Yisrael. We are in a place today, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu would do to sit in Rechon Osmeach 17? In this room, Moshe Rabbeinu was never zeicher to that. He davened and he davened. He never zeicher to sit in this room, right? So the idea over here is Yale Mansbi like Tishani shows me that the small extra Kiddush Hashem that Kiddush brought, that a person can just speak to a stone and water come out instead of hitting it. That was enough of a Chilul Hashem.
Why?
Not to allow Moshe Rabbeinu into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it shows me the amazing extent of how much a person is judged for Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. Any minutest amount of less of Kiddush Hashem is automatically the worst Chilul Hashem. Now, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, Eschatosei Ani Matke Hayoim, I'm going to mention something which unfortunately I'm very upset about. I was very proud of myself that I did not let the taxi driver take me for a ride. Excuse the pun. Right? I did not allow taxi drivers, you know, you come to taxi drivers, and they say, I'm on a little bit. Yeah? The meter doesn't work. So how much is it there? Avim Sheker. Yeah? And then they put Avim Sheker, and then they'll charge you for, you know, you've got an extra, you've got a pen in your pocket. So, the hovala, this is really, what's it called? Oz hovala. Hovala is removal. You know, I'm removal. And this and for that. So I used to give them a piece of my mind, tell them exactly where they came from and come to that. And challenge the pedigree of their mother, right? And you know, I really was, and then I realized, I'm crazy. I'm selling my Kiddush Hashem Chil Hashem for 5 shekel. 5 shekel is all Kiddush Hashem is worth for me? So I stopped. One's got to know at certain times, you know, Vata, if all it's worth for you is 5 shekel, the guy thinks he's right. He's wrong, but he thinks he's right. So he's going to hate you. He's going to hate from Yidden. He's going to tell the next driver, Ah, Charedim, Ele, Ala, Panim, Negis. He's going to hate Charedim. Speak about Charedim. All for 5 shekel. So I'm willing to sell HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Klal Yisrael's name for 5 shekel. Is that all it's worth for me? Oh, yeah. So I say, you know what? Let's say during the whole year, I get ripped off 100 shekel. 100 shekel over a year is worthwhile for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. I've got to just bear that in mind. Everywhere you go in Eretz Yisrael is a man lo yimantiv ilahati sheni. You've got to be makdish kiddush line. Don't be taken for a ride. Don't be completely being walked on and trampled on. But certain stages in time, you've got to realize and appreciate that Kiddush Hashem comes with a price if Chas v'Shalom you stick up for the wrong things. Okay, stop here. Yeah. Next is my favorite class of Bolo.